Proudly family-owned and operated since 1989. statetransport.com.au.
The Kogan Money Credit Card, packed full of value with rewards and no annual fee.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. It's Midday Madness time. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. And the number is 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. The open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia awarded the prestigious National Kia Car Dealer of the Year Award. Werribee Kia, where else? You can send through your texts as well. On the Temper text machine, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses, pillows, bedding products like no other. I'll read a heap of your texts out during the course of the next 3 hours. But it's Midday Madness time. You call, you get on. That's the promise. And we've got a few on the line already ready to go before we even start. So Stuart and Seymour, James in Glen Waverley, Ray in Coburg, Robbie in Carnegie, and Vic in Epping. You're all in the queue. So I appreciate the fact that you've jumped on and it's virtually midday as we speak. Heap of stuff I'd like to get to too, but I'll stick to the promise. You can set the agenda. You call, you get on, even though there's a couple of big items that I've got to get to in the first hour. But Vic in Epping, you're on so early. I've got to go to you first. Welcome to you, Vic.
How are you doing?
Fire away.
Listen, my friend, I want to ask you a question. Has got any chance of winning one game of the next two to play finals, because I reckon I've got a better chance of asking Elon Musk to give me a free ticket to go to the moon. I reckon I've got a better chance.
Vic, you can always put in the request to Elon, because there might be more tickets in the coming years than you think there might be, but I reckon you can. I know it's sounding dramatic with Patrick Cripps likely to be out for the last two home and away games, but I don't think it's out of the question. I like the finish to the game from Carlton. It might be fool's gold, but I think it's not out of the question given the forward line you've got, that it can function, even though your midfield has been decimated, Vic. I wouldn't be giving it up just yet. And look, a lot of people have been saying, well, Collingwood's run's going to end. Here we are, 11 wins in a row. It hasn't ended, but gee, that last game of the season is going to be epic. Can't wait for it, but I've got so many games to look forward to this weekend and the following weekend before we even get to that Sunday. But Carlton, Collingwood, MCG, Sunday afternoon, prime time game in round 23. That could be one of the great games of the season. So we're looking forward to that, Vic. And who knows, Patrick Cripps might only get one. I mean, he might go to the tribunal and get off. He's likely to have his suspension handed down today, or he's likely suspension handed down today by the MRO. The MRO might let him off. If it comes to hand in the next 3 hours, we'll let you know, of course. But as Gerard Waitley and I were discussing earlier, it's probably likely to be handed down by the MRO later today. It's probably likely to be 2 weeks, but who knows in this crazy world of ours, Vic. Great to have you. Robbie in Carnegie. Welcome to you, Robbie.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good.
Just on Friday night's game, it wasn't good for the old cerebral palsy body. I was having a heart attack.
Yep.
But a good heart attack in the end. And with Sunday's game, how come we don't play on Saturday night anymore? Because we used to play Sydney on Saturday night a lot.
I'm not sure why it's not a Saturday night game, but at the same time, it's going to be a ripper as well. SCG, Swans are flying. And it's the prime time Sunday afternoon game. The Swans used to traditionally play in the prime time or the early Sunday slot at the SCG. I think that their fans like that Sunday early or Sunday afternoon slot at the SCG. So their fans know where they've got it locked in for, had it locked in for a while. So I'm looking forward to it being a Sunday afternoon game. I think it's in its right spot, Robbie. Ray in Coburg, you there, Ray?
You there, Dwayne?
Yeah, you there, right?
Yeah, mate, yeah. What about those pies, mate? When are we going to start getting some respect from some commentators and sport betting agencies?
So betting agencies work on weight of money. They also work on the probability. You think you should be a lot shorter? You should be favourites right now, or?
Oh, $3.40 Friday night. Hey, come on. If we were a racehorse and we won 11 in a row, we wouldn't be.
Yeah, I suppose, though, there'd be some people at the casino, having seen 10 reds rolled in a row, that might think the odds of black coming up might be due.
Yeah. And what about Brayden Maynard, mate? How do you rate him as pound for pound, this hard butt footballer going around now?
Oh, I loved it, Ray. I mean, the early tackle on Ed Langdon and then the brutal front-on tackle where he winded himself and hurt his own sternum. Got to love that, Ray. The bump's not dead. If you get it right, Patrick Cripps didn't get it right. Patrick Cripps probably looked at what Brayden Maynard did on Friday night and thought, well, here's my opportunity to have an impact. But you still got to do it correctly. You still got to do it legally. Brayden Maynard has got it wrong once or twice in his career, but boy, did he get it right on Friday night, Ray. Thanks for your call. Great to have you on the line. Yeah, I think the bookies will start paying you some respect. If you beat the Swans at the SCG and they are a genuine contender to win this flag, the Swans, and then beat, you know, Carlton at the MCG, I reckon if you finish top two, you have to be, top two under Geelong, I reckon, in terms of your favouritism. James and Glen Waverley, thanks for holding, James.
No, my pleasure. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, no, lovely. Firstly, you know, I just wanted to discuss the Essendon-GWS game. Now, there was just absolutely no flow with Essendon's game, very stagnant. But I think we do put a lot of pressure and heat on players and coaching staff and the likes. But there was also another poor performer. I think that was a certain commentator of that game, which I was pretty disappointed with. And, you know, I think, you know, the talk, you know, it needs to be highlighted. It just wasn't good enough from a certain commentator of that game.
I didn't hear it, James. What were you upset with specifically?
Lack of footy knowledge by a certain commentator. Forgot who was actually who the teams that actually were out there at times was labelling them the orange team. So just think that, you know, at an AFL standard, like anything in a professional sport, there needs to be a high standard, you know, of commentary along, you know, we put the pressure on the umpires to umpire right, players to play right. Well, the commentary just wasn't up to scratch.
Okay, appreciate your call. James, I'll have to have a watch and a listen back specifically to that game in a bit more detail. Obviously, I was tied up with the Western Bulldogs Dockers game, which was kind of being played at the same time. But I'll go back and have a look at that one a little closer. Joel and Doreen, welcome to you, Joel.
Afternoon, Dwayne. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to stir up the pot a little bit here with Carlton supporters. I was chatting to a bloke at work about footy, and it was put to me that I didn't realise this. Now, if we got to the end of round 23 and Carlton played Collingwood and they were still in the eight at the start of that game and they managed to lose and pull out the eight, they would become only the second time in history, which they were the first club, I think, 77 that did it, that were in the top eight all season long, every round, and then fell out. And now, if they fall out on that final round, I will find that big. The highest of heights of great humour.
I will absolutely roll around and tackle on the floor. No club's ever done it apart from Carlton in the 70s, and if they do it again, I will absolutely lose it. I really hope it comes down that wire and they just dip out. Sorry,
Carlton fans, I really do.
You're hoping they're in front
until
about the 28th minute of that game as well, Joel? Or
do you
want to rub it in a bit more?
I don't like Collingwood. I'm not a Collingwood fan. Don't get me wrong. But if Collingwood was kicking after the siren, that would make it even sweeter. I would lose the plot.
Well, certainly go with Collingwood's narrative that they leave it until the last minute to win the game. Thanks for your call. There's a few on the text rubbing it into Carlton fans at the moment as well. Michael and Preston, you want to talk Kingy and Carlton? Welcome to you, Michael.
Yeah, I do, Dwayne. I was listening to Kingy this morning. He was saying he didn't think it would be a big deal if Carlton missed the finals. They wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be that bad. I totally disagree. It's the season they've had. And I don't barrack for Carlton, I barrack for Collingwood. They need to make it, because otherwise it's just, I think it's just like another also-run season for them.
Yeah, if you're a Carlton fan, I don't think you could sort of look at it as a glass half-full situation if Carlton missed the eight. I'm with you on that. This would be really a tough off-season for Carlton fans, especially with Collingwood about to, you know, play a big final series and maybe win it. Imagine if Carlton missed the eight, Collingwood go on and win it. It'd be the worst possible result for Carlton fans. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad if one of the interstate teams like the Sydney Swans win it, but yeah, it'd hurt. Absolutely, it would hurt. And the players themselves, Michael, you know, they've done so many things to get this right. They do have players out at the moment, Carlton, and they are likely, I think, to be without Patrick Cripps for it. But they need to just find that win from somewhere. Somehow, some way, somewhere, pull one from the fire and head into the finals maybe with a bit more momentum again. Matt on the road. Welcome to you, Matt.
Hey, Dwayne. How you going?
Good.
That's all right, mate. Really happy Cats fan. We're just going along, doing our job. It feels a lot different this year than previous years. And I know everyone's waiting for us to fall over in the finals, but this year I'm pretty certain it's not going to happen. And I'm really, really confident with the run into the finals. And just another point, if I could, there seems to be this blind dislike of Kelly Underwood's commentating, and I think she's just amazing. I think she's a pioneer of commentating. She knows her stuff. I just think people that have this hatred towards her and her commentating just need to grow up. I think she's great.
I didn't know she did that game, Matt. I was trying to work out whether the caller was even talking about the radio commentary that we had on AFL Nation. So if it was Kelly on that game, she is great. I love working with Kelly. She does know the players. She knows them just as much as any male commentator knows them. She knows footy just as much as any other male commentator knows footy. So if it was Kelly on that game, more than happy to defend her knowledge of footy. Absolutely. And she's a ripper caller, Matt. And we're privileged to have someone as good as her as part of our team at Fox Footy. Just on Geelong, here's David King. He thinks it would take a freak event for Geelong not to win the flag.
If you look right now, there's one team in the competition that is number one this season for turning possession into score. Wherever they get the ball, it goes. It's the number one ranked team, the greatest percentage of possession to score team. They are also the best at denying the opposition possession to score. So number one attack, number one defence in terms of not bleeding but making the opposition bleed. We've never seen that before. That hasn't happened. Well, I have seen it. It hasn't happened since 07. So we haven't seen it for 15 years. If you look across the competition, teams are rated high in one or the other. They're really good defensively or they're really good on offense. But they're not great at both. No other team is rated top six in both. They're one and one. The Cats statistically are so much better than any other team. It'll take a freak event for them not to win. In my opinion, it'll take a freak event for them not to win the flag this year.
David King, there you go. It would take a freak event for Geelong to not win the flag this year. Welcome to you, Dean.
G'day, Dwayne. Just David King. I think sometimes he forgets what he says. Like 2 weeks ago, he wrote Melbourne off, and then he changed his mind to give it a chance. And then last Monday, he said that Collingwood would no chance of winning the flag. And then on Wednesday, on 360, 2 days later, he tells everyone that Collingwood a huge chance. So you got, I know he's a colleague, you only can't bag him, but you got to be accountable what you say sometimes. You can't just make things up on the run and then forget what you said 2 or 3 days ago.
There is a lot of people in the commentary game who change their mind, Dean, and circumstances change. People change their mind. Kingy can change his. The interesting part is, I know that there's one here on the text. Hi, Dwayne. I think Kingy at times relies too much on champion data stats, and there's been a lot of talk about using outside data, outside stuff to make an assessment as to how your team's going and how they're not going. And I was trying to think back to the first coach or person that used data, and I was having this discussion on the weekend. I think it goes back to, I reckon Tom Hafey was the first guy to do it. We talk about using vision now to look at guys, how many around the ball, how many handball chains, things like that. Tom Hafey used to take photos from the newspaper to his team and say, how come there's more of us? How come there's more of them in this photo than there is of us? That's an indicator to us that we're not getting enough players at the ball. He would take a photo out of the paper to try and emphasise it. Everyone uses other bits of data to try and further their own point. And I think we're all guilty of doing it at times. Sometimes you look at the data, like that Melbourne game on Friday night, and the data just has to be thrown out the window, really. So it works sometimes, doesn't work other times. It also changes because teams adjust the way they play during the course of the season. So, you know, commentators tend to adjust their commentary on the adjustment of the way teams are playing. Leon in Caulfield, you there, Leon? You wanted to talk about some commentary.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Look, love the show. Look, I want to refer to what James said earlier about Kelly Underwood, I believe he was talking about. Look,
yeah, he didn't say Kelly. And I didn't watch that game because my game, I don't like watching the game on before my game, before I call it on TV, so I don't get any names mixed up because I've got other teams or names in my head. So, I was prepping for the other game and I didn't realise it was Kelly doing that game. But she's a ripper. Anyway, you go on, Leon. You can tell us what you think.
So, look, I like this guy. Look, I was a very frustrated Essendon supporter, frustrated at the way we played and what's going on at the club. However, the thing I think that was really most apparent about that game was the very poor coverage overall. I think, and can you help me with this? I think Kelly and the two other commentators were in Melbourne, and I think that Alistair Lynch was at the ground, not sure about Bretton Speed. Now, I think the camera work at that game, honestly, it was the worst broadcast I've seen for it all year. And I do watch a number of different teams, not just my own. And it seemed to be that the person who was cutting between the cameras really had a poor understanding of the game of Australian rules football. It made it very difficult for the commentary team, who I think was in Melbourne. And could you
Speedy would have been. I don't know this, but Speedy is often live at those games, and Alistair Lynch would have been there on the ground as well. Speedy does those games often in Brisbane and Sydney live at the game.
The special commentary was being done by Kelly Underwood and Brad Johnson, and it seemed disconnected with the broadcast, Dwayne, and it really was a poor coverage. I realise whenever you're on the losing end of any game, you've got a million things to be grumpy about. But really, I think there's something in what James said, but it wasn't. I wouldn't particularly put it on Kelly's shoulders. I like Kelly Underwood, and I like the refreshing change to have female voices alongside of the men. And and that particular thing he said, I don't see any problem with her calling them the orange team. She didn't forget what game she was watching. I think that's ridiculous. But I really would like you to have a look at that game and just tell me what you thought of the way the camera was working and cutting between one shot and the other. At one point, they had, with no commentary at all, they had the camera focusing on Zach Merritt on the boundary line, just standing there while play was going on. And there was just no real reason. There was no explanation given to why they were focusing on him. Went on for about 15, 20 seconds, which is a long time in the course of a game.
Leon, I'll check it out. I will check it out. And it's interesting to hear your clarification. Obviously, I cop it. You know, if you look at social media, I cop it sometimes too. Or I come in on a Monday and look at the text. And sometimes you look at the commentary, you look at the text on my commentary and I think, oh, gee, that's a bit harsh, or, you know, that's a bit nasty. And sometimes you look at it and read it and think, okay, that one's actually fair enough. I reckon I could have called that better or whatever. So the critique of the commentary is fine. It was nice to hear it's not about Kelly. It's about the coverage in general. I will have a look at it. A couple of texts that have come through on it, by the way. Don't worry about James, do I know? Might in the 50s, Kelly Underwood was a commentator, got tongue-tied. Tim in Mansfield, and we all get tongue-tied at some stage. People do hate on Kelly. She's a gun. We're sick of it. So thanks for that as well. A lot of support coming through for Kelly on the text as well. And I could read about 15 or 16 of them out in support of Kelly. So it's great that so many have come through in support of her. And I'll check out the coverage itself and look at the camera angles as well. Dom in Burwood, Marty in Melton, Mick in Kings Park, I know you're on the line. Leon in Caulfield, I know you're on the line. Thanks for your call as well. Stuart and Seymour, welcome to you, Stuart.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, good.
That's good. I just wanted to bring up maybe three examples of absolutely brilliant last games. Josh Kennedy, obviously. 8 goals, fantastic. The other one I can remember was David Cloak, when he went back to Richmond. I think he kicked 8 goals in his last game. And shadowing it all, I think, is Fred Fanning, who kicked 18.
In his 18 in his last game?
I'm pretty certain it was 18 in his last game of VFL football.
I'll have to check that out. Hey,
and I mean, the record still is there, obviously. But yeah. If there's any others, or if I've got it wrong, yeah. I've got it wrong. But no, I'm pretty certain that even David Cloak, who kicked 8 for Richmond after he went back after his stint at Collingwood, in his last game. So, you know, I'm certain everyone was calling, why the hell are they retiring after all of those ones?
My producer Mitch is telling me you are correct. Fred Fanning kicked 18 goals, one in his final VFL match, which remains the individual record, and it is the record that will stand forever of a player going out with a bag of goals. Hold the line, got something for you. You've got a Mystery Craft beer bundle thanks to Hairy Dog, the largest range of alcohol online delivered. HairyDog.com. A couple of texts coming through that Fred Fanning kicked 10 and 18 in his last two games. So how's that for a way to go out? Marty and Melton, as we head back to your calls for Midday Madness. Talking to you, Marty.
Good day, how you going, buddy?
Good.
A couple of points, mate. Collingwood just keep getting lucky like Peter Dacos to give all those shots of goals, but anyway. Have you ever, firstly with Cripps or Crisp, whatever you want to bloody call him, if he does not get 2 weeks and it doesn't hold up after what Maynard copped in a friggin' practice match, then, mate, seriously, it's as inconsistent as the umpiring. But anyway, he's got to get 2 weeks, so. A couple of points. I'm going to Sydney on the weekend, Delano, so I can't wait for that. We've got a fantastic record against them, like we have against Melbourne, so I don't know why we're milling $2.50, $3 or something again, but make of it what you want to make of it. I think the Pies are a big chance. Do you realise if we win, we're playing Carlton to keep top two. If we lose, we're playing Carlton to make top four. So Carlton will not be getting Collingwood just having a game for no sort of reason. We're 100% playing for MCG finals. So Blues, Crips or no Crips or whatever, I think it's just about time to say goodbye, 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 goodbye. So, anyway,
thanks.
And,
Vossi,
good job on trying to get Crispy off, mate. Well done.
Yeah, I think, what was it, Lee Montagna said on first crack, has Voss lost the gloss or something like that, Marty? Appreciate your call. Dom and Burwood, you got a thought on the Blues?
Yeah, got a couple of, yes. Cloak kicked 8 against Carlton. Clarkson will be at Port Melbourne as coach. And with Carlton, listen, we have had the worst run of injuries of any team by that far. It's not funny. We've had 10 and 12 blokes out every week. And coming in the next week, we'll have no Cripps, no Hewitt, no Kennedy, no Newman. And TDK is obliterated in the ruck, and we'll have Pitternet, who's played one game in 15 weeks. But the funny thing is, the Lions beat St Kilda, and if the Giants beat the Dogs, then more than likely Carlton, even if we don't win a game, will make the 8, because Sydney will have to St Kilda would have to have a big win against Sydney in the last round. So we could lose two games and be totally non-competitive and still make the 8, which I probably wouldn't even want to make the 8, because we're just not going to have any players left for playing the finals. But it is what it is.
And you meant Clarko to Port Adelaide, not Port Melbourne?
Clarkson to Port... yeah, very good, Wayne. Yeah, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, Melbourne. No, I appreciate your text. A couple of texts have come through on the Carlton making the 8 without winning. One here, I'm not a Carlton supporter, but they make it without winning. Dogs won't win both. One of Hawks or Giants will beat them, and the Saints won't beat Sydney or Brisbane. Blues will make it. Jeremy from Cecil Plains. Thanks for that, Jeremy, as well. One here, Dwayne, take it to the bank. This week will be Hinkley's last as coach of Port. I'll play you after the break what David Koch has had to say about Ken Hinkley and the changes that might be made to the football department at Port Adelaide, and the fact that he, by the sounds of things, thinks change needs to be made somehow. Twitter poll is up as well. How are you assessing the Patrick Cripps incident? Reasonable contest, 32%. Suspension, 68% now. Over 290 votes so far on that. Back to your calls for Midday Madness. Liam in Carrum Downs. Welcome to you, Liam.
Yeah, Dwayne, how you going?
Good.
I'm just wanting to get your thoughts on Ben Rutten's situation, why no one's talking about him being the next coach to go.
Well, it depends on which form you look at. I mean, it's been a really up and down season in terms of performance. Liam, every second week you look really good. Every second week you look really bad. I think your list is pretty good. It's young. You got some guys coming through that I think have got huge futures. And I don't think you're in that bad a shape, Liam. But the trouble is you made the eight last year and you're going to miss it this year. So are you thinking a change is in order?
I think we're a coach away from a finals win and a good run at the finals for once.
The trouble is if you get a new coach, is the coach that you get guaranteed to be better than Ben Rutten? And Port Adelaide and Ken Hinkler are in the same situation. I mean, if Ken Hinkler's an 8 out of 10 coach, if Ben Rutten's an 8 out of 10 coach, is there a 9 out of 10 coach out there you go and get, Liam? Or do you try and get a first-time coach in and hope he's going to be 9 out of 10? He might end up being 6.5.
I think it's Clarkson, or at the same time, you can't put Rutten and Hinkley at the same level. Hinkley's a lot more accomplished than Rutten has been.
Yeah, but Rutten's just growing into the job still, Liam, because he's early in it. I know he virtually coached the team while John Worsfold was there in his last year, but it's still a work in progress for Ben Rutten. So you'd cut it now. Who would you get? I mean, is it Clarkson you want, or would you be happy to start all over again with a first-year coach?
No, bloody oath, I want Clarkson. I want Clarkson. I think he'll be the difference.
But if it was Clarkson or a first-year coach, if it was Clarkson, a first-year coach, or Ben Rutten, who would you take? Who would you take if you couldn't have Clarkson?
Oh, if I couldn't have Clarkson, I'd want Hinkley.
Appreciate your call. AK in Brunswick, you there, AK?
How you going, Dwayne? Best call in the business, mate. How you going?
I'm good, thank you, AK. Thanks for your support, mate.
No worries, mate. Just to let you know, mate, I was at the Tassie game last week. It was fantastic to celebrate Ben McAvoy's game. It was a beautiful day and beautiful turnout, all the supporters and family there. So I was just really disappointed with the Gold Coast after the game, and they didn't just line up for him and clapping him off and this and that. And they just walked off the ground, and I think it was pretty disappointing to give him a send-off after the game. And I know, Gold Coast, we ended their finals and that, but I just think it was a pretty disappointing situation like that. The end of the game, so I just wanted to bring that to you.
Yeah, it's a fair call, AK. It's a footy department leadership thing that tends to do that. The players at the time might be just disappointed and be walking off the field and thinking, well, that was horrible, we're really upset with that, and I get that. But it takes someone in the football department to say, hey, guys, remember we had this idea of lining up for Ben McAvoy, in his final, the milestone in his final game. But it's not his final game, AK. It's just a milestone game. So should you line up for milestones all the time? That's the issue. Go, I'll get it with Josh Kennedy, but do you line up for milestones? Or does it have to be a 300 gamer like a Joel Selwood?
Oh, well, they've been doing it to most players this year, haven't they? I know they've done it to Pendlebury and they've done it to a few other players. But it's just nice to just give them a send-off. You know what I mean? It's nothing, special. Just line up quickly and thanks for all his support, at the end of the day, I think they've done it to most of the players these days after the game, And I think you have to play, 300 games plus to get a send-off, but I just thought it was pretty disappointing by the Gold Coast, Again,
yeah,
probably
yeah.
The leadership by their end and this and that, but it's a beautiful oval. Good to see Peter Hudson's name on the thing now, and it was a great day to be there and celebrate with the big boy. It's just seeing Gunston on fire after what's been happening with him the last few weeks and playing good footy, and let's hope he gets a new contract. It was a great day, great weekend to go down in Tassie. It's a beautiful place to go in Launceston.
Great call, AK. It's an interesting one. 250 games is, it's line-upable for showing respect. I get it. But I also understand that some teams come off pretty disappointed, and they would have been pretty disappointed with that loss on the weekend. Straight after your calls and your texts. By the way, you can see all the Commonwealth Games action on 7 Plus. Watch event replays, minis, trending highlights, and all the best action on demand. Plus, keep up to date with the medal tally, results, and event schedule. Sammy Edmund to join us later on, and we'll talk some Comm games later on as well. Couple of texts that have come through. Hi, Dwayne. Who will be complaining about getting great odds from the bookies? Oh, right. Collingwood. Chew up those odds. Guys, Couchy in Watsonia, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Hi, Dwayne. Collingwood was 11 straight by around an average of 4 points. Could easily have been 11 straight losses. Pendlebury retired and McRae sacked out of the finals in straight sets. Cheers, Mick, from the Gold Coast. Well, I don't think it would have led to McRae being sacked or Pendlebury being retired if they happened to have 11 straight losses. But it hasn't happened. They've been good enough to win 11 straight, and they have won a few of those 11 straight because they've shown such great coaching and such great leadership. So it's testimony to how good Pendles and McRae have been for starters, let alone the others like Maynard we talked about earlier. Dwayne, you should read out the supportive Kelly text. There's underlying sexism with the hate she gets, and people with a voice like you need to call it out. And you're right, I do need to call out sexism, and I do support Kelly, and I do love calling with Kelly, but there also is a level of critique that we all get as commentators, and it's a hard line to tread sometimes. Allow critique of my commentary, allow callers to come on and critique others like BT or Hutto, and also critique the female commentators as well. But once I do sense that it is a sexism issue for a few people, I don't read those texts out. They are too nasty. But when you think about some of the things that, you know, I mess up on this program with getting tongue-tied, everyone gets tongue-tied occasionally. Back to your calls. Tony in Belford. You there, Tony?
Hello, Dwayne. I called a couple of weeks ago and I just thought I'd ring back to see how we're going with the producers trying to put a block on Collingwood supporters ringing in for a couple of days. It's getting exhausting to listen to be honest. And for people to be having a go at the odds, well, you don't need a full set of teeth to work out how to bring the odds down, boys. Just take a sneaky little pineapple out of your wallet, go down to the local sports bet or the TAB and put some money on the pies if they're such a good thing. Oh, Dwayne.
Thanks for your call, Tony. Someone calling up to complain about Collingwood having so many callers call up. Appreciate it. Tom in Seaford, you there, Tom?
Hey, Dwayne. I'll tell you what, I'll make a comment about that one in a minute. But just before I do say something, I'd just like to make a tribute and honour to Judith Durham. She sang at the 1994 Grand Final in the Seekers. She had a pure, beautiful voice, and I think we need to acknowledge that. I don't know if you can find the time to play maybe I Am, We Are Australian, because it says a lot about AFL football, the past, the present and the future. And I just wanted to make acknowledgement of a fantastic Australian who's now left us. Just about that comment, I was going to say I think the Cats are the favourite. I think what you said before about them is that they've just about got most aspects of the game covered. But the Pies do bring the whole scene alight, and maybe they will stumble at the end, but it's been a hell of a ride. It's ignited the competition. And McRae and the rest of them have found, they've found a bit of a way out with some of these games there. So you never know what could happen in the final series when somebody could bob up unexpectedly, but it's just been a great, great season, and I just wanted to pay the acknowledgement to Judith Durham and the great Australian that we've lost.
Tom, appreciate your call. Steve in Lansfield, you there, Steve? Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Yeah, just ringing regarding your opinion on a free kick in the Port and Richmond game, another frustrating free kick. The Robbie Gray one where Broad punched it through. Now, our ball bounces in different directions as such, and it gives Broad a split second to come in and punch the ball away. Why does he get a free kick, another shot at goal, like, in your opinion?
So, Robbie Gray, I'm trying to think my way through it, Steve. It doesn't ring in my mind as something that caught my eye at the time.
Oh, he was running into an open goal. If the ball bounces, runs on, Gray grabs it and runs in, kicks a goal. Kicks the goal, but the ball popped up. Now, Broad was chasing him, which gave Broad a chance to come from behind and punch the ball away from him. He punched it through for a point. Gray got another free kick. Must have been a deliberate... They paid a deliberate point. My point is, if he punched it out of bounds, was it deliberately out of bounds? Or is it just deliberate because he punched it through the points? How is that?
Well, it's deliberate.
You can't,
Yeah, you can't deliberately punch it through if you're outside the 9 metre square. Doesn't ring in my brain as something that I remember seeing at the time, Steve. It is one of those situations where we could talk about individual free kicks for 3 hours. It is different if you knock it through for a behind deliberately, or knock it and it just goes the other side of the behind post and it's out of bounds deliberately, because insufficient intent and a deliberately rushed behind have two different ways of being looked at and two different interpretations for the umpire to try and adjudicate. So which side of the behind post does make it important, and how far out you rush it through also has an importance, because if it's outside the nine, it's different to inside the nine, which is probably one of the reasons we still need the goal square. Appreciate your call, Steve. Snapper in Port Phillip Bay, are you there, Snapper?
G'day, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
That's good, Dwayne. I'm shattered as a Blues fan. I called you last week and I thought we'd beat the Lions, and oh so wrong how we performed. The question I have, Dwayne, is, and the boss comments during the week when he said that we're not trying to change anything. Well, that to me, I love boss, and I know it's his first year, but that to me gives a message to the players that no matter what you do, we're just going to cop it on the chin and move on. He should have come out and said, we want to play finals. This, the next three games are so important that no spot is guaranteed, and that we are going to try things. We're going to mix things up to get that win that we need and to push on for the finals. I just felt that we went into it weak-minded, and what Patrick Cripps did sparked the players, but it was too little too late. And honestly, Dwayne, this week, Carlton, Melbourne, they pumped it up at the start of the season between the midfielders going head-to-head. I think this is even bigger because one wants to stay in the top four and one wants to stay in the top eight. So the stakes are high. And it's only one win, Dwayne. Does it come this week or next week? I don't know, but I can't handle the finals, Miss Dwayne. I cannot do it.
Thanks for your call, Snapper. A couple of texts coming through. Dwayne, the decision was correct. It was a clear free kick. It was from outside the 9 metres, so it was outside the goal square. That's the reason why. Another one, deliberate every day of the week. So quite a few saying that it was a free kick, 100%. So thanks for that as well. Another one here, it would have been deliberately out of bounds, even if it went out of bounds as well. Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Let's go straight back to your calls and your texts for Midday Madness. A couple here coming through on the lining up for Ben McAvoy's 250th. Bloody hell, Dwayne. Let's all line up for 50, 100, 150 birthdays, anniversaries. Come on, guys. Definitely a new age, everyone wins a prize attitude. The Gold Coast Crow doesn't think that you should line up for 250. If you've got a thought on that, keep your text coming through. Should you line up for 250? Hi, Dwayne. He was only playing 250. Pendles and Silwood played 350. Tell this fella he's dreaming. James in Morty Alex. So if you're coming through saying that you shouldn't line up for 250, but another here on the text, I think 250 games are over. Get the lineup, Dwayne. So there you go. So there'll be someone playing their 200th game in the next couple of weeks that will be arguing whether you should have lined up for the 200th game. Dwayne, what did David Koch say? Please, I'll play a little bit of Koshy. I promised I'd play a little bit of Koshy in the last hour, but the lines have been full for Midday Madness from the moment we turned the microphones on at midday, and we've still got Nick, Michael, Mick, Steve, and Phyllis all to get to. So I want to get to you all. I also want to get to Nathan Jones, who's joining us in about 15 minutes' time. Nick in Perth, we'll start with you. Welcome to you, Nick.
G'day, Dwayne. Just what your thoughts on players helping other players up from the contest? From the opposition.
Seen it a lot lately. Nick, where you lend a hand and say, sorry, I knocked you down there, fella. Here's a hand up.
Yeah, I think we're going soft.
Oh, it's 2022, Nick. There's so many things that happen these days, and I need to just pinch myself and say, hey, it's 2022. And that's another one. Players helping players up off the deck with a hand, being nice. I've got to say to myself, hey, it's 2022. Nick, I appreciate your call, but it's something that sticks in my mind when I see it a bit too. Michael in Sandringham, and welcome to you, Michael.
Yeah, happy Monday, Dwayne.
And to you.
Just a couple of small things. Just a qualification on Fred Fanning. He didn't retire from the game after his last game of 18 goals. He moved to the country for money. So he can. I think he went to Hamilton, so he kept playing. But you got paid a lot more to play in the country back then in the 40s. Anyway, I just wanted to make a comment about yokai footy. Bit of a whack for the commentators. I watched the show. I love the Indigenous players, and past and present, and, you know, being a Richmond supporter, watching the Rioli's and Pickett's and Edwards and these guys, I think they're the most bold and most exciting players in the game to watch. Anyway, they did a segment on their show about Eddie Betts and his book release, and, you know, there was quite a long conversation about racism in the game. And I, by the way, am a big admirer of Eddie and think he's fantastic, and I admire what he's done. They then went to a segment on Falcons, and you know, which is players getting hit in the head with the ball. And the last one to come up was Mick Stay from Brisbane, and he was like on his hands and knees with his head about 6 inches from the ground, and a player just booted the ball in his head from 2 feet. Would have really hurt. And one of the commentators said, that wouldn't have hurt him much. There's nothing up there because he's Irish. And they all just wet themselves laughing. And I just couldn't help but thinking, I understand that, you know, being racist to Indigenous is far worse, but it felt like a bit of a double standard.
yeah, Michael, it's an interesting one because, you know, I appreciate your point. It's an interesting one because we go to pre-season or start of year meetings, and I do it with SEN and I do it with Fox, obviously. And the parameters change a lot. And we have come to the agreement that you don't make fun of people based on their race. Once upon a time, we thought it was okay to mock the Irish and do an Irish accent, or even the French, do a French accent if we're talking about cooking. You know, and it's all part of fun. But now we're told in these meetings, no Irish accents, no French accents, no American accents. Don't make fun of the Americans and use their accent either. So the world has changed. We all need to catch up with it. And it doesn't matter what your upbringing is. Sometimes going to one of those meetings and realising, okay, well, I didn't realise that. Maybe they haven't had all of the meetings as well. Or maybe sometimes it's just a slip where you don't realise you've done something wrong. So we're all in this evolving world, Michael. And I think there needs to be a bit of tolerance if someone accidentally gets one wrong in a minor way. I've got a few wrong in a minor way over time as well. Mick in Diamond Creek, you there, Mick? Thanks for holding as well. You want to talk Collingwood?
And about you, Dwayne. I've got low vision, and I just think you're the best commentator, along with Gerard, and I'm not just saying that because I got through. You make it very clear to people with low vision and totally blind people where the ball is, so thank you for that. At the beginning of the year, in January, I put $10 on Collingwood to make the eight and to make the top four, and $5 on them to win the flag. I don't think they'll win the flag. I don't think they're quite good enough. I think Geelong's the side to beat. And to that Carlton supporter, hold your head up. You've had a real good year, and somehow I think Carlton will beat Collingwood in the last game of the year. And do you think Collingwood will make the top four, Dwayne?
I think they'll make a prelim, Mick. Can you beat Geelong? If you beat Geelong in the prelim, I probably don't think so. Can you beat Melbourne? Well, you just beat Melbourne. In fact, you've beaten Melbourne twice, Mick. So it depends on who you play. I mean, Collingwood, by theory, if they play Melbourne in a prelim, or they play Melbourne in the first week of the finals, someone else could knock Geelong out. I mean, that could happen. You could get lucky and get to the grand final and not have to beat Geelong. We talk about who you're going to have to beat. Well, Collingwood's made their own luck. They've had a little bit of luck along the way as well. They might get lucky in the finals as well. I mean, you might have a prelim between Melbourne and Geelong, and then Melbourne knocked Geelong out, and you face Melbourne in a grand final, who you've beaten twice before. Why would you be afraid of that? So it's all shaping up beautifully for Collingwood fans right now, Mick, and what a lovely world it is. I mean, I'm a fan of August anyway. If there's a month of the year that I love more than any other month, to me, it's August. The days get longer. The sun seems to have a little bit more bite. It's a beautiful time to be alive, but if you're a Collingwood fan, September might be even better. Stephen Altona Meadows, Jack Silvani's on your agenda. Peyton Peran, I know you want to talk about helping players off the ground as well. Phyllis, you've been holding for a while. Welcome to you, Phyllis. You want to talk Ben Cunnington?
Good afternoon, Dwayne. What I'm ringing about, I'm a bit nervous, so bear with me. How lovely it was to see Ben Cunnington playing in the twos. And the lovely gesture from Josh Kennedy was on the front of today's paper with the arm over the shoulder, and hopefully it won't be too long before Ben is playing in the seniors.
Yeah, so would you bring him? Yeah, it would be nice if they could bring him in this week. They think that conditioning wise, he might need another week, but that's a call for them during the week, Phyllis. But yeah, it's a nice call. How did you go? How did you face your weekend's performance, Phyllis? Are you looking okay? Do you think you should go for Clarkson?
Perhaps, but I've got one out of left field. Even as an assistant coach or director of coaching, is Mark Wynnum. I've always liked Choco, and I think he would be an absolute bonus. As for
Phyllis,
the senior coach,
yep.
I'm not sure, Dwayne, to be quite honest. But I love me Kangas, but I can't go to the footy anymore, but I'm still blue and white through and through.
Lovely to have you call, Phyllis. Hold the line. We've got something for you. You've got a Signet Boost power bank valued at $59.95. A Signet Boost power bank will keep your phone, tablet and earbuds powered 24/7. The effort was there on the weekend. It was great to see some of the old players as well with the reunion. Pete and Paran, you want to talk about helping players off the ground. Welcome to you, Pete.
Yeah, good afternoon, Wayne. First, can I say I think Collingwood enjoys being hearing that they can't win the flag. I think it's been many teams who were supposed to win that haven't won, including Geelong in 2008, where the young Hawks came through and beat them in the final due to their inaccurate kicking. So I think Collingwood's enjoying it. But yeah, finally, I don't see anything wrong with helping a player up. You can say it's also reverse psychology. That softens a guy on the ground, changing his demeanour. But also it's a great look from a sportsmanship perspective, particularly for our kids. I mean, what do you want them to do, you know, be that aggressive nature that we had back in the 70s? I think it's a great look for the kids as well. So that's my perspective. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Pete. John on the road, you got a thought about players helping other players from the opposition up?
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. Look, I don't mind it at all. I see it. I'm a Collingwood supporter, and I saw Collingwood actually do it a few times with the opposition, and he didn't take any. They were still ferocious at the ball, and it's also a reflection of the way McRae goes about it. So I think it's a good thing. I think it shows sportsmanship. And then when the umpire throws the ball up, it's back to playing it hard.
2022, John, we've all got to get in line and realise that it is just a game, this game of footy, even though the intensity over the course of the last 4 and 5 decades has changed a little bit in terms of what we do when the game stops, what we do when the siren sounds. We do all believe now that shaking hands, once upon a time shaking hands at the end of the game didn't always happen. Hey, shaking hands at the start of the game doesn't always happen still. Steve, in our Tony Meadows, you got a thought on Jack Silvani. What can you, Steve?
Hi, Dwayne. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Look, just watching the game yesterday, just trying to understand why the Blues would have dropped a specialist ruckman in Pitney and select, pardon the punt, but Jack of all trades, Silvani, master of none, to take on the Brisbane specialist, which, as the results show, it affected him big time.
Selection's an interesting one, Steve. Whether you pick your best fit and then go in with that, or how much do you bounce off what you're coming up against the next week and pick to suit the opposition, given that the opposition can sometimes change late as well, like Geelong tends to change late a lot. So you would play Jack Silvani and Pitonet, or not play Jack Silvani at all?
Look, would he be getting as many games if he didn't have the Silvani name attached to him for Carlton? And to me, I don't find Silvani as a specialist ruckman. Now, if you put him up against some of the specialist ruckmen in the comp, he's losing all the time. So why wouldn't you pick Pitney, who is your specialist, in the team when he was fit? He was ready to go. He played last week and you dropped him. And the results showed this week.
Well, I'm picking Pitnet. I'm picking Pitney. I'm picking Jack Silvani as well. I think sometimes we judge Jack harshly because of his name. other people might think we judge him lightly because of his name, but I think he's been a great jack of all trades for you. I think he's been really good in the ruck at times. I think he's had ruck wins against taller opponents, and he gives you that fourth midfielder when the ball hits the deck. So I don't mind the Silvani idea, but for some reason, Vossi dropped him a couple of weeks ago as well. So even Vossi must have question marks about the weight of performance of Jack Silvani and what he gives you against various opposition teams. A couple of texts that have come through, by the way. Hi, Dwayne. Very exciting to see Nathan O'Driscoll return to Frio on the weekend. Cracking goal from outside 50. Added much-needed pace to the midfield. Wingman to watch in the future. Yeah, had a fantastic game, and boy, did Frio hit back well. And another one here. People need to be more patient with Ben Rutten. If it was up to Richmond supporters, they would have got rid of Hardwick years ago. And how did he turn out? Matt from Werribee.